If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me some very familiar verses of Scripture. Amen. Book of Ephesians chapter 4. We have made it to point two in 3 weeks. Glory. Amen. Hopefully we'll get to point three or four today. Glory. We might even finish. You never can tell. It just depends on how it flows. Glory. But we're talking about renewing the mind, the theme for this year. I want you to get that in your head. Transforming our mind to the body of God, to what God wants us to be. Let me tell you something, church. The real battle of your relationship with God is whether or not you can get your mind to thinking right. It's all in what's going on up here. If we think we're defeated, we're defeated. If we think we can't live right, we're not going to live right because we won't try. But if I believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly and above all in my life, then I can trust him for everything I need in my life, and I can let go. Come on, church. Amen. You know, it's kind of like the lady that was in the nursing home and blind, and she talked about what a great day it was every day. And somebody looked at her and said, how can you do that? You can't see. She said, I know, but it's a choice. I can choose to enjoy the day, or I can choose to gripe about it and keep the mully grubs all the time. Some of y'all need to meet a lady like that. Come on, church. Amen. I'll be honest with you. I've got to worry. Some of you, I pass you. I don't ask you how you're doing because you'll tell me. I go to camp meeting, I don't walk up to preacher's man, how's it going? Because about the third one, I'll be so discouraged, I'm ready to go to the altar. I had one guy, he told me, said, yeah, this church is going down slower than any of my pastors did. Glory. Amen. And you know, and every one of them's got back problems, knee problems. All of us has got problems. But if we focus on the problems, all we're going to do is walk around managing the problems. You ever notice that what we focus on is what we're good at? Amen. Hello. So what are you getting at? If I focus on God, I get good at being a child of God. That's what it's all about. That's what God's been trying to tell us all along. Be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do I renew it? By getting God in my head where he belongs instead of talking about him on the outside. Amen. If all I've got is man-made religion, I've got nothing. If all I've got is what the preacher told me about, I got nothing. But if I've got a connection to God that's not just on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, but every day of my life I'm connected to him through the power of his word, through the anointing of his spirit, then I've got something that carries me when the whole world crumbs around me. I can stand there with a song in my heart and a little spring in my heels that I know my God is able and my God's going to bring me out and I'm not falling apart every time. Oh, come on, church. That's what we need in the church world today is to transform form our thinking to where we think like God thinks. If we think like God thinks, we begin to tell the mountains about our God instead of running to God about our mountains. Oh, and when you start talking to them mountains, the Bible said the mountains tremble at the sound of his name. And you get them trembling, you move them. Come on, church. Oh, that's good stuff. Amen. Glory. I ain't even got started yet. Ephesians chapter 4. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. So we know that if we put on the real reality of God, we have true righteousness, true holiness in our lives. What we've got to do is realize everything we used to be has to go away. Colossians 3 and 1. If ye thee be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid in Christ and in God. Quit thinking about what you ain't got down here. Years ago, we were building a house, and the guy we were building it for was 30-something years old. The guy that owns Wayne's Auto Sales and myself was trimming the house out, and they sent us over there to work because it was going to take several days just to put up the fixtures because they were all solid brass. brass doorknobs, brass hinges. We took the doors down, put new hinges on because they were all brass. All the bathroom fixtures, the thing the toilet tissue sat on and the towels, they were all brass. We had to put up a brass handrail that went down the side of the steps. And I'll never forget, we were in there working and the guy come walking up and he was standing there and said, "Not bad for a 30-year-old, is it?" And he's kind of just bragging about that nice house because it had marble on the steps and all this kind of stuff. And looked at him, he said, "Oh, the screws I'm putting in this hole right here won't even buy my house that I'm going to live in when I get over yonder." Glory. He said, "What are you talking about? You got a better house than me." He said, "Oh, yeah, buddy, you just don't know." He said, "The street in front of my house worth more than your whole house." Glory. He got mad and went and told the guy we was working for, and he went and told my father-in-law, and he came in and said, "Y'all got to lay off that dude. Y'all done got him mad." I mean, he had his and hers Mercedes, but we were talking about what we got in heaven. I may not ever have a house that'll compare to his down here, but I've got one that is made by the master builder that sits on the corner of a street that's paved with pure gold. Amen. And I've got a place where I'm going to live where I'm not going to have to worry about any more sorrow, any more heartaches, any more pain. Why? Because I set my affections on those things on the other side. I'm not worried about what I have or don't have down here. All I know is that if I live diligently, righteously, soberly in this world, I'm going to make it. Oh, come on, church. Glory. 1 Peter 1:13. "Wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end of grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." We've got to get our mind set on God. We get our mindset on God, it doesn't matter what anybody says. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego looked at the fire and said, "Our God, who we serve, is the one who put us in this job when we came here. We were serving him before you got your hands on us. And we were serving him when we took these jobs. And we're going to be serving him when it's all over with. And you do whatever you got to do, but we're going to serve God. We're not selling him out." And I want to tell you something, church. If we get that kind of mindset, then I got a God that'll make a way in the desert and put a river of water in a dry place. He'll give you a covert from the tempest. He'll be a hiding place from the storm. If we get our mindset right, I got a God that'll take care of us when everything around us is blowing up. But we've got to begin to get to that place where we have a renewing of the spirit of our mind. Glory. Somebody said, "Preacher, that's great, but listen, church, everything you do is a process. If you learn that, school ain't that hard. If you're studying math, understand, if you don't learn math to start with, you ain't gonna learn math later. Because it's building blocks. If you take algebra and you're gonna take Algebra 2, you got to take geometry in between because you've got to have geometry to be able to pass Algebra 2. If you don't understand the theorems and axioms you learned in algebra, you're never going to make it geometry. If you don't understand what you learned in geometry, you're never going to make it in Algebra 2 because it's building blocks. But if you learn it, it's not hard to do. Come on, church. Everything you do is a process. Everything we do has a way it's got to be done. There are steps to becoming a child of God and becoming what God wants you to do. And I understand it, church. Nobody likes steps. I remember I used to run upstairs. We got some kids still do it. They're going to learn like I did. When you miss one, about half your shin meat stays on the one above it, you'll quit running up steps. Hello? Y'all remember when you used to take more than one step at a time? I remember when I wouldn't even step on that one. I'd just step off. Now if I did it, y'all would have to call an ambulance because I'd be laying over in the corner. Because steps are made to be taken properly. And when steps are taken properly, they carry us to a place we want to be. Amen. Somebody said, "I don't like steps." I don't either. But sometimes if I want to get higher, I've got to go up the steps. Come on, church. Oh, y'all missed that. That was a good time. Say amen. You say, what are you getting at? The reason some of us ain't gone up, we're still on the bottom floor. And there's a second floor and a third floor and a fourth floor. And you've never moved up. You're still where you was at 20 years ago. Talking about how you got saved 20 years ago. Sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. And now you're just sitting there and nothing's happening in your life. And some
young person comes along, gets filled with the Holy Ghost, runs by you, and you get jealous and think they're all backslid and messed up because they done went by you. I got news for you, church. Some of you need to start moving. You need to get up. You need to walk those steps and realize there's more to it than just coming to church and sitting here and shouting when they sing Granny's favorite song. It's about getting a hold of the Word of God and bearing that Word in my heart. Having a relationship. Man, I'll never forget, I got saved. Y'all need to understand something. Real Church of God is an emotional church. I'm not sure it's always the Spirit, but they'll shout anyway. Glory. We had some of them that wouldn't even come to church once every 6 months. They walk through the door. Wrong with them. Glory. But there was a lot of pure folks in that place. If Miss Anna Booth ever started shouting, the walls had to come off the building. Because she didn't move unless it was God. Hello? Come on, church. Well, we're more refined. I got another word for it, but we'll leave it at that. Glory. I remember going to church, and Holy Ghost get to moving. Miss Anna would stand up, and all she'd do just, woo, and then she'd start speaking in tongues. The Holy Ghost would blow the place apart. Miss Bell High saw it squeal. Hello? Next thing you know, Miss Buna would shout. Then her kids would shout, and that's the other half of the church. Glory. Mama, as they called her. Glory. I'm going to go back old school. Edward Chanel would jump up. And Big Edward, the guy used to be the bruiser before he became our Sunday school superintendent, and he filled the church up with folks because they was afraid to tell him they wouldn't come to church. He'd jump up and he'd go, oh, hallelujah! And he'd tear it up a little while and he'd shout. He'd bring nobody to that church if you didn't expect them to see Pentecost because it was going to happen. Hello? Somebody said, preacher, why'd you get off on that? Because that's one of the steps. If we're Pentecostal, why don't we act like Pentecost? If we're Pentecostal, why don't we ask God to give us a move of His Spirit like He did? I want something to happen like in the upper room. I don't want to sit here. I want something to hit me so hard I got to go out in the street and tell somebody about what happened while I was in the house of God. I want something burning in me when I leave the building that it don't go out so I can run home and forget what happened. Glory. That's the kind of spiritual walk we need with God that works on us. Come on, church. Amen. Where you're walking through the mall thinking about God, and all of a sudden you start speaking in tongues, don't even realize it. Glory. Somebody says, oh, my God, that would bother me. Don't go with me when I'm in the mall if I get thinking about God because I'm just liable to happen. I don't care. Come on, church. I was walking through Louisiana with a preacher one time. The Holy Ghost hit me and started speaking in tongues. This lady said, where are you from? I said, heaven. That's all I need to tell her. I didn't know what I was doing. Glory. Amen. Smile, church. He said, preacher, that's crazy. No, it's not. That's the way we need to do. I'm skipping. I'm getting on down there. Amen. Point two. Point one. Let me just give it to you real quick, like, because some of you might have missed it last week. Point one's on here somewhere. Identify specific thought patterns or ways of thinking which are not based on truth of God's word and are causing resistance to walking according to the Spirit of God. If you've got something in your mind keeps you from doing what God wants you to do, you need to get rid of it. I actually went to a church where the pastor told me, we don't worship that way. I actually walked by and I said, raise your hand and say, praise the Lord. He said, why? I said, well, I thought it was God. I guess I missed it. Glory. So after church, he informed me that they had gone to a level spiritually where they no longer is necessary to have emotional and outward outbursts. I said, really? He said, oh, yeah. He said, we worship God from the heart. It doesn't take outward emotion and outward voice to worship God from the heart. I said, wow. I said, and y'all attained that? Y'all just got that spiritual? He said, oh, yeah. In other words, they're just telepathically communing. Of course, most of them was doing it with their phones and paper. And so I got to church that night, and he turned it over to me, and I walked up to the pulpit, and I said, It took about 5 minutes. I just walked around. I even stopped one time to get a shelf on my feet a little bit. And he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm preaching from my heart." I said, "Since y'all got that level, I figured you could get it." He looked at me and said, "We're not getting nothing out of that." I said, "Well, God don't get nothing out of y'all's praise either, but that don't seem to bother y'all." Glory. You know, I got to go back and preach at that church after the pastor left. Glory. Amen. Because I found out he was the one that had telepathy or whatever you call it. Glory. The truth of the matter was, he didn't have telepathy. He was just dead, didn't want to admit it, come up with a name to cover it so he wouldn't have to worry about it. If somebody shouted, he wouldn't know what was going on. Come on, church. The truth of the matter is, we need to get back to that place where things that hinder us from walking in the Spirit like we're supposed to, we need to get them out of our mind. You say, "Wait a minute, preacher, what are you talking about? Thoughts and carnalities that keep us from the presence of God need to be gotten out of our mind. If we walk around with our mind stayed on those things, that's all we're ever going to have. But if we keep our mind stayed on him, we have a peace that pass all understanding, a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. We walk in a presence of God that helps us make it through this world." Secondly, I made it to point two. How about that? Amen. A person needs to confess and ask forgiveness of the lie or false belief that has caused them to believe something contrary to God's word. If you're going down the wrong road, it's obvious it ain't going to get you where you need to go. Now, church, if I left here headed to Mobile, I could go out here and get on 65, follow it right down to Mobile, come out down in Sarah Land, all around in there. Well, ain't no problem. I could make it fast. But you know what? I could actually go back down the road over here and hit Highway 5, follow it down to Thomasville, and get on 69 south and follow it on down to 43, follow it on down and come into Mobile. I could still do the same thing. It would take me longer, but it would still have the same results. I had somebody tell me, "What's that got to do with anything?" Some of you are headed down a road that it will get you where you're going. If I take 65 north, I'm never going to find Mobile. If I hit 31, I'm not ever going to go to Mobile. If I run in another direction, I'm not ever going to get to where I'm going. And we've got people that got on the wrong road. Instead of turning around and admitting you were wrong, you just keep going the way you're going and saying, "Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. If they love me, they'd leave me alone, let me be like I am." No, they love you, so they're trying to turn you around so you won't go to the wrong place. Somebody told me, said, "I like your church, but I can't live with all that conviction that comes down while you're there." I said, "Thank God. I'd hate to know I had a church that didn't convict people wasn't living right." Come on, church. And if some of you feel bad, think about why you feel bad. "Well, you're a condemning preacher." I'm just preaching the truth. I don't condemn anybody. But if the word of God condemns you, you need to do something about it. That's God trying to tell you it's time to turn. Listen, I got OnStar in my car. Now, Frida's got OnStar in her car, but she likes some of y'all. She'll argue with OnStar. Look at her nodding. She called me one day. She said, "I'm trying to find Highway 11. I said, "Well, maybe it's in Cottondale. What are you looking for?" "They got the highway stopped up." I turned to the right coming off the highway by the Chevrolet place, and I can't find Highway 11. I said, "There ain't nowhere around you." "I know it is." I said, "No, baby, you got to go over the hill to where Highway 11 goes under 59 to find it on the right-hand side. It's on the left-hand side of the highway coming up." She said, "I hit that OnStar. He don't know what he's doing. He told me to go through Montevallo." I said, "That's because you're almost 82, and it'd be closer to go through Montevallo." She's arguing with a guy. I told her, I said, "Freda, you need to understand, OnStar and myself are the only ones that know where you are." She couldn't even tell me where she at. I said, "You're on Hargrove Road." And I said, "But you got to go back across the interstate now. If you follow that road back across, you'll go into Cottondale and you'll find Highway 11. 30 minutes later, she called me. She says, "I'm sitting in front of such and such red light. Where's Highway 11? I said, "Right in front of you. You're on it." Glory. Hello? Somebody said, "Why'd you tell us? You trying to put your wife down?" No, because some of you are the same way. God puts roadblocks in your way to tell you you're going the wrong way, and you'll argue with him. "Oh, I know this is the right way. Everybody else is doing it. If everybody else is doing it, it's okay." I had somebody tell me the other day, said, "I know somebody's a Christian, and they drink, and they get drunk, and it's okay." No, it's not. Just because they do it don't mean it's right. You want to go to heaven, you can't do what everybody else does. I hit on start, says you're going the wrong way. If I'm following that thing and I don't make a turn I'm supposed to make, you know what it says? As soon as possible, please make a legal and safe U-turn. That will aggravate you sometimes, because sometimes they'll be telling you 3/4 mile, turn right. About a half a mile later, go, turn right. And you're not in the right lane yet. And you have to go by and immediately say, as soon as possible. I tell you something aggravates me. Every time I get on OnStar, the last thing they'll say is, would you fasten your seatbelt, please? Y'all might figure it out, but I'm not bad. I'm bad about not putting my seatbelt on. They remind me every time I call to get directions that I should have my seatbelt on. She'll say, make a legal and safe U-turn. It's a problem most people have when they see they're going the wrong way. They want to do a 360, not a 180. If you do a 360, you're still going the same direction you're going in. You've not accomplished anything. You just spun around. The reality is you got to do a 180 and go back where you came from to get to where you need to go. Come on, church. Some of y'all just missing this. You're going, what's this got to do with your sermon? It's got to do with finding those things in my life that are keeping me from doing what I need to do. Repent of them. What does that mean? Turn away from them. Get away from them. Stop doing them. Don't just play around and act like it's okay, but get them out of your life so you can get on the right road and you can get on that narrow road and that straight road that leads to eternal life and follow a God that's going to take you where you need to go. Could you say amen? Say, well, you give me scripture for it. Sure. Psalms 119, 158. I beheld the transgressor and was grieved because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. For thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of righteous judgment endureth forever. You know what he said? He said, God, you don't change. Your word don't change. What was good 2,000 years ago is still your word today. And we don't need a fresh word. We don't need somebody to give us a new interpretation. And we need to get a hold of this word, put it in our heart, and realize what worked then will work now. Come on. Oh, I see now. I got to start running down that amen in myself and back up here. Whew, I'm getting too old for that. I'm going to be kind of like the. I invited Otis to come to the fall festival. I said, can you bring a car? He said, I'll let you know. He called me next week. He said, Scott may not can come, and Scott can't come. I'm too old to fool with that car. It won't be with me. He pulled up out there, and he got out the car. He said, love you, preacher, but Scott couldn't come, and I didn't bring that car. Glory. I'm beginning to understand what he's talking about. Hello? Point three, a person needs to choose to renew their minds and to set their minds on things of the Spirit. We make a choice of how we're going to live. How we choose is what sets up the way we're going to be. I can choose to think about all the trouble and the problems. And let's face it, church, y'all know if I sat down and started giving y'all the lowdown, we'd all be getting crying before it's over with. I got problems just like you got problems. My problems ain't no bigger than yours, probably. They might be. But the point is, if I sit and dwell on my problems, they're going to get bigger than life. And they're going to begin to dominate my life. But if I keep focus on God, then God begins to dominate my life. God begins to be the one I look to in the morning when I get up in the morning. And I'm going to be like old Jeremiah. Let's face it. You ever read Jeremiah? Ever read Lamentations? They were written while he was in prison. You wouldn't believe that if you read it. I mean, he's sitting there looking out the window and he goes, hey, your mercies are renewed every morning. My hope is in you because I know, God, that it's in you. I'm going to make it. You say, what are you getting at? In the lowest point of your life, you can look up and see God, and it doesn't matter what's going on. Paul's in a hole in the ground called a Marmatime prison. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men because the Lord is at hand. I am going to be happy no matter where I am. Why? Because I'm focused on the one that can bring me out. Romans 8:5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is peace. Glory.
Listen, a Christian is commanded by God's word to first love God with all their mind. Jesus said unto him in Matthew 22:37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now, if I've got everything set on him, everything else evolves around what's happening between me and him. My relationship with him is not based on what's happening in my life. There's a guy that's a pretty good writer, but he wrote a book one time as a waste of paper called Bible in Right of My Redemption. If you got to decipher the Bible or what's going on in your life, it ain't never going to read right. And that is the problem with the world today. We got too many people that want to figure out, well, it's not happening for me, so undoubtedly the word ain't true. The word is true. You just ain't got connected to it right. Why it ain't happening with you? Come on, church. That's as bad as faith healers praying for people that don't get healed. It's got to be their fault because he's the faith healer. Come on. I mean, you got to get you one like I did. He can't miss. You'll live till you die. I mean, that's a good one. You ain't never going to lose that one. Glory. But I've had people give me words that I knew wasn't true. And they stand there and say, now, if that don't happen, it's your fault. It's not my fault. They gave me a bad word. Come on, church. We got folks running around looking for words. I like what Loran Livingston done. He told everybody want a word, come up front. He had the usher stand there with a box. They reached in, got a fortune cookie. He said, now you get a lemon flavored cookie to go with your word. Glory. And I said, that's mean, preacher. Might be, but he got 5,000 people going to his church this morning. He'll take in $2 million tithes this month. Amen. Because he don't fool around with garbage. He tries to give them the word and live right. Come on, church. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? I can't base on what's happening in my life, on what's going on in my life. I can't design God to fit that. I've got to design my life to fit what God's word says. And when I do that, things are totally different. Oh, come on, church. That's good stuff. Amen. Amen. Second, that we are to bring every thought into captivity and obedience to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought, the obedience of Christ. What's he saying? If all you watch is zombie and vampire movies, people getting killed and how they figure out how they got killed, Almost Got Away With It, that's a new reality show. Now there's a new reality show coming up where a former Olympic star is becoming a woman. And they're going to hold the whole thing on TV for your kids to watch if you let them. I got news for you. If he spoke been a woman, he'd have been born that way. He ain't no woman. He's a man wants to be a woman because he ain't man enough to be a man. I lost half of you on that, but I'm sorry. Truth's the truth. My God don't make mistakes, and he knew what he was making when he made that dude. That's why his mom and daddy named him Bruce. Hello? It wasn't Adam and Steve. It was Adam and Eve. Glory. Moving on. We've got to get to that place where we quit putting junk in our head that makes us think about stuff that ain't real. We've got fears in our life that there's no reason to be afraid of. I have a friend that pastors a church close by here, used to travel with me. He is so afraid of snakes. If you walk up beside him with snakeskin boots on, he'll give a heebie-jeebie. He'll just pass out just about it. I asked him one time, I said, dude, why don't you do something about that? Well, what do you do? I said, let somebody hand you a snake and hold it. I was thinking about being the guy to do it, but I was afraid he'd hurt the snake. Glory. I called him one morning. He's at his sister's house. I said, have you seen the front page of the life section of the Tuscaloosa News? And there's a great big picture of a rattlesnake striking the end of the camera. And he opened it up. And I heard people rustling. He hit the floor. A few minutes he got to the, he said, you're crazy. I ain't even going to be able to go back to sleep. I said, that's why I called you. We're going to meet for breakfast in a little while. And I want to get you up. Lord. Now, church, being scared of snakes is one thing. Being to the point they just put you in a hypochondriac state every time you see one. Well, you got to take a pill because you saw a snake. Ain't no way to live. You ought to be like Frida, open the door, be letting them in the house while I'm trying to tell her to leave the door closed. Oh, that's happened here. There was a snake. I walked out and carried the garbage out. Snake went across my feet. And I'm trying to kill it, and she opens the door, and it's going through the backside door. I say, close the door, and I pull the door to on the snake. Now he ain't happy, so I can't get my hand to him because he's trying to bite me. So I had to go get me a pair of pliers so I could catch him and cut his head off. You say, you killed him? He was dead when he went across my feet. Hello? What kind was he? He was a serpent. Set your mind on things that are above. Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. Think on these things that are true, honest, pure, lovely, and of good report. If we do that, God will keep our mind in perfect peace. Number 4, find the truth of God's word to replace the false beliefs and lies. Psalms 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth's going to do what? Make you free. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved of God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Psalms 19:7, for the law of the Lord is perfect, coveting the soul, and testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Hello? The word of God is the only source that can renew and restore your mind. Glory. Hello? When you get rid of the old man, new things begin to happen in you. Come on, church. I got saved and I went down with working at Bryce Hospital, doing some counseling with drug addicts in the drug detention center. And went down there one day, and they'd stamped my past, persona non grata. I don't know about y'all, but I'm not big on foreign languages like that. I said, what does that say? He said, person not wanted. I said, what does that mean? He said, means you can't get a pass in anymore. The leader, who is a priest, said, he don't want you back there. You're talking about God. Young lady gets saved in Lineville, Alabama. She's a coven witch, drug addict, alcoholic. She broke her back trying to commit suicide. And so even though God delivered her and healed her back, and we have doctor's proof she was healed, they sent her to Bryce Hospital because that's required by law. If you try to commit suicide and hurt yourself, you have to go down to a rehab center for a while. So they put her in a rehab center. I go walking in the door, and the guy said, how'd you get in here? I said, she asked for me to come. He said, you don't talk to nobody but her. I said, not a problem. I just talked to her. But all them other folks were sitting at that table listening. You know, he put her out early just to get her out of there to keep me from coming back. Amen. Because he said I was in there infecting them people. I'm not infecting them. I was trying to tell them what got me off drugs. I didn't get off drugs off the 12-step program. I got off drugs because I got the one step. I got saved. I got washed in the blood of Calvary, and the old things passed away, and I repented of what I was doing wrong. It means I didn't keep playing with it. I got it out of my life, and because of that, I walked away clean and changed my whole life and my attitude. Come on, church. I went to Alcoholics Anonymous for the first time in my life. Before I got saved, I wasn't known Alcoholics Anonymous. I wasn't quitting. I go to Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. I got up and I'm speaking to those guys. And I said, guys, I'm not alcoholic anymore. The director walked straight to me while I'm talking. Said, excuse me, you can't use that statement here. It's not true. I said, yes, sir. He said, no, once you're an alcoholic, you're always an alcoholic. I said, I never was an alcoholic. I was a drunk. I didn't come to your meetings. Glory. He looked at me sort of funny. He said, you can't say that here. I said, well, I'm sorry, but that's the only way I know to say it. I am not an alcoholic anymore. Old things have passed away. All things become new. And I ain't had a drop in 3 years. Glory.
Somebody said, well, how'd that work out? 40 years later, I'm still clean. I hadn't had a drop. Why? Because I am not an alcoholic. I will never be an alcoholic again because I serve a God who has set me free, and he whom the Son of God hath made free is free indeed. Stand with me all over the house. We need to transform our minds. As a man thinketh, so is he. And our thinking is so boggled down by people. We think because they got 15 degrees cheaper than a thermometer, they know something. But if all they've ever learned from is people don't know more than them, they've not learned anything, have they? I got thrown out of a theological class because I wouldn't deny the Holy Ghost. And that was an extension class from Samford University. But because I wouldn't sign a paper saying I wasn't Pentecostal and didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I couldn't take the class. I looked at the professor and said, I don't need your stupid class. Hello? You won't never amount to nothing in ministry because I didn't take his class. But I'm still Pentecostal. I didn't deny my faith so I could get his piece of paper. Come on, church. We've got to get to that place where our mind is stayed on God, not the things of this world. That's what transforming our mind is all about. That's what letting God change us is all about. If you're not happy with who you are, you're never going to change until you make up your mind you're going to do it. You can't stop smoking one cigarette at a time because that second or third one's going to get you. You just got to quit.
Oh, that's hard.
Tell me. I remember riding down the road digging in my pocket. Stop the store and buy some. I get out there and I get that pack just like I want it, and I open it up, got one out, put it in my lips, and I'm fixing the light. Ain't nobody gonna know. And suddenly my spirit broke up and said, whoa, you're bigger than this. I throwed that pack of cigarettes away, throwed that the way I had in my mouth, and every day for the rest of that week I'd pass that store going, you know, they're still there. You paid 50-75 cents for that pack of cigarettes. That's stupid, throw them away. It's $7 something now, so I know how hard it is, so just don't buy them. Come on, church. I remember what it's like to get up in the morning and shake till you get some alcohol in you so you quit shaking. And I know what it is to be under pressure and your life feeling like it's falling apart. And you're walking through a grocery store and they just happen to have your favorite vodka in the glass doors you walk by. And he goes, hey, remember me? See, some of y'all say it don't talk to you. Yeah, it does. It may not have been no audible voice, but I heard it. It was like, come on, man, it'd be just like old days. Take a shot. It'll calm you down. It'll help you. There are times you got to make up your mind, I don't want that anymore. This is more important to me than anything that's got to offer me. Because I've been there and I've done that. And I don't like where I was. But I like what's happening here, and I'm going to keep going this way. It's my choice. And after a while, that quits talking. After a while, you can walk by it and just smile and say, you ain't nothing. Come on, church. The reality is make up your mind that my mind has stayed on him. If my mind stayed on him, I don't have time for all this other stuff. And if I do, then he helps me get by all of it. Say, preacher, why are you doing what you're doing? This is what God's led me to this morning. There's some people under the sound of my voice that there's some things in your life you've been wanting to break.
some addictions, some thought patterns, some things in your life you need to get rid of. It's not going to happen because you decide in the New Year's resolution you're going to get rid of it. It's going to happen because you put it at an altar and decide, I'm going to bury it once and for all. And I'm turning my mind toward God, and God is going to help me. And I'm going to make Him more important than anything in my life. And if I do that, then nothing else will take me down. You will never change until you absolutely make up your mind you're going to change. All the psychiatric help is not going to help you till you yourself decide to change. But when you make up your mind, I want God more than anything in this world. Church, would you just raise your hands and reverence His presence? God's speaking to some people in this house. Your opportunity is now, not tomorrow, the next week. Don't bargain with God. Make up your mind, today is a day I change the rest of my life. And let it start right now in your life. God's speaking to some of you right now. You need to be in this altar. God's talking to you about changing the way you think about what's going on in your life. And if you'll move to this altar, God's going to begin to break issues that you can't break on your own. You will never be free until you let God liberate you. Hallelujah. But if you'll come, He'll help you. He'll tear down some walls you didn't think could be torn down. He'll open doors you didn't think could be open. But you've got to make up your mind, today is the day I change. Today, not tomorrow, not next week, but today I make a commitment to God that every day from now on is going to be different. I'm going to think different. I'm going to talk different. I'm going to act different. Come on. Make your way to this altar and talk to Him. God's wanting to help you. God's wanting to change some things for you. This is your chance, your opportunity. Please, let God have His way in your life. Father, we thank You this morning for Your love, for Your mercy. God, for the opportunity we have to serve You, to live for You, to walk in Your presence. We magnify You, Lord. God, we ask You to touch today in our lives. Minister to us with Your Spirit. God, have Your way. In Jesus' name.